And my sofa guest is real life bodyguard Russell Gray. We've been talking about his 20 plus year career as a close protection officer to entrepreneurs, to highly respected families and to celebrities as well in more than 50 countries. Now, you were shot at in Nigeria, Russell. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, we'd been out there, myself and a colleague, for a few days doing the recce. Our client had a private house there. We then travelled to the airport to collect him, as we would. We had our driver, and we escorted him through the airport into the vehicle. We get him back to the house. The housekeeper opens the gates. It was quite a large walled property. Drive in a little further, open the doors, and then there's gunfire, and it starts hitting the walls of the house. We get him in pretty quickly, and as you'd expect, we had a shotgun in the house, so we came out and opened that up a little bit, high into the sky, but in the direction of where we thought the gunshots were coming from, and that was the last of it, really. It sounds a bit more dramatic than it was, but with hindsight, I've got to blame the client again for, sorry about that, but for cutting down numbers. We needed one extra person. We told him this. We needed one extra person to remain at the house to make sure that the house remained secure when we were about at meetings or times such as that when we went to the airport to pick him up. But that was it. Nothing too drastic.
Do we know who it was and why it had happened?
No. He was a very wealthy man, very well known in the area and the home itself. So it may not have been targeted at him. They may not have known who he was, but maybe it was just an assault on the property and whoever may have been there at the time. It's not too much better now, but at the time it was like the Wild West in Lagos. So that was no real surprise. It happened, and that was the end of the matter, really. The client was shook up, but he was pleased with the way we reacted. I got him in the house. I joked with a colleague because my colleague also said to me, he said, "Oh, you were sharp getting him in." And I said, "Well, I wasn't getting him in. I was hiding behind you." And the client happened to fall in the house at the same time. But we reacted as we were trained to do and as we would hope to do. And that was it. It all happened so quickly that you don't get too much time to be nervous. It's quite a surreal experience. You're not nervous until you finally lock up at the end of the night and lie down in your bed and think, ooh, that was close.
I was going to ask you about that. When you find out that you're going to some of these countries and you know there's problems there, that's probably why you're being sent in the first place, do you ever feel worried or scared?
Not too much. I'll go out, or one of my team will go out and do the recce, as I say, and that's a fact-finding mission, so that gives us a better understanding. I'm often, or have been in the past, as concerned about the authorities as you are about being victim of random crime. Now, it's different in the Eastern Bloc, in Russia. I've been to Russia many occasions, and that concerns me because organised crime there is very organised. Places like Sierra Leone, Ghana, not so much Ghana, but Sierra Leone, Angola, Lagos, Nigeria, as we've mentioned, Port Harcourt was the worst area there at the time. They are more of a concern, but it's disorganized crime there. So that's not such an issue. You feel you can outmaneuver that if you're given the tools to do it and given the free rein by the client to organise things properly. You can pretty much avoid it and push the problem onto a softer target.
Have you ever been offered gigs in places like Afghanistan or Syria or Iraq?
Not so much, because most of those are actually private military companies. They're out there already. They're established. They have numbers out there. I was meant to be going to Afghanistan with a US client from a defense corporation, but he cancelled the trip himself. We'd go in there via Dubai, but it wasn't an issue. I wasn't concerned about going in there because most of the time it's well structured and you're going into a controlled environment. So we're okay.
Ah, so you didn't quite get to go. Were you looking forward to going to Afghanistan?
Yes, I was. Oh. Yeah, Yeah, I mean, that's the weird mentality of us.
One of few people who would say, yeah, I'm going to Afghanistan. I'm really looking forward
well,
to it.
Well, I've worked in 62 countries. That would have been 63. I'm always for increasing the numbers.
What about this time? Let's go from Africa to the former USSR, the now independent Republic of Georgia. There was a kidnap attempt there. What happened there?
Well, kidnap attempt, because it never happened, we can't say if it was a kidnap attempt or not, but it had all the hallmarks of a textbook ambush, if you like, for lack of a better word. We'd gone out there to help a US heiress who was adopting a child from an orphanage just outside Tbilisi. We'd been there some time. There'd been a lot of stalling and delaying on the part of the people out there. And we, through our own inquiries, found out a lot of it was nonsense. First of all, they said we'd be in court on Monday and it would all be processed and we could be gone straight after. Then Monday went to Tuesday. Tuesday went to Wednesday. And we'd warned her about this. We'd briefed her already in London and said, look, they're going to try delaying tactics and they're going to be hitting you with a bit of emotional blackmail, especially once you've seen the child and held the child. So be wary of that. We won't fall for it. If they do that, we'll leave the country for a few days and go back when it's complete and to complete the process. They then told us, back in the country, they told us that, it's going to be night court on Thursday. So we went to contacts we had at the British Embassy and said, what's all this about? And they said, there's no such thing as night court. Okay, something else. So we would manoeuvre and carefully, cautiously make our excuses as to why that wasn't happening and be firm about it and say that we were ready to leave the country. And bearing in mind the final transaction was going to be the handing over of a substantial amount of cash. So night court got overlooked. Then we completed everything and had to head out to the airport the following day. On route to the airport, now that airport road at the time was known as Kidnap Alley. And there was heavy snow on the ground. It was middle to late December. It was about something like the 22nd of December. And we had to head out to the airport. And with that, there was a vehicle behind us closing. Then another vehicle pulled up alongside that vehicle and tried to come up alongside us. Now, this had already almost been forced into one lane because of the snow. Approximately 200 metres, 300 metres ahead, there's a car parked sideways and a guy standing up with a torch trying to flag us down, looking like he's claiming to have broken down.
Right.
And the driver started to slow down. And again, forgive me, listeners, because this may not sound too good, but I said to the driver, run him down. And I didn't want that to happen, of course, but I was confident that if we didn't slow down, the guy would get off the road. And that's exactly what happened. I said, and because the driver was ready to stop, I said, no, keep going. No, I said, if you have to, run him down. And the driver kept going. That person got off the road, out of our way. We continued, and the two cars behind went in alongside the car was at the side of the road and alongside that person. It had all the hallmarks, as I say, of a textbook kidnapping or kidnapping attempt. So that was that. We got the airport and got out.
And you have to make decisions like that, which could essentially end someone's life, you know, run somebody over.
Yeah.
If they're going to kidnap someone, they're probably not going to be stupid enough to stand there as the car goes right into them, are they?
No, of course not. But as I say, it does sound harsh and it sounds extreme on my part. And almost repeating the story makes me feel ashamed. But no, that was the reality of it. And if he's going to do that, then, we're not going at high speed. So he's got plenty of time to get out of the way and he's got plenty of time to realise we're not slowing down. Mm. So if he's up to no good, then he's going to get what he deserves. If he's sensible about it, then he's going to be out of the way. So we're okay.
And this other one, the knife-wielding attacker in Miami.
I've got the scar to prove that one.
He had a go at you.
We were in a nightclub in Miami with a client. The client was very good and very respectful, but he had some hangers-on, which weren't conducting themselves as well as they should. The hangers-on, he was from the Middle East, the hangers-on were from North Africa, and they weren't conducting themselves pretty well. And one of them particularly tried to get inappropriate with a girl, and it caused a reaction amongst the locals, and I think the locals were a Cuban or Colombian gang. So again, we've got to get out of there. It's not our job to stand and fight. That's not what we do. Our priority is to get the client out of there and get him to safety. So we did that down the stairs, out in the street, into the vehicle. I've got my team pushing the client into the vehicle, and now it's go, go, go. Don't worry about me, go. And again, little sort of tiny scuffles. There were two or three of them who had knives, but they were behind the scenes. I get into my vehicle and we get back to the apartment, and I take my jacket off, and I didn't even know I'd been cut, to be honest. But that's basically what happened. And it must have been a thin-bladed weapon, because honestly, I didn't feel it. I thought it was sweat from the humidity of Miami. I take my jacket off and there's a little red stain. Again, maybe I'm playing it down, but I don't think I was too nervous at the time. Because by the time I discovered it was over. It's never going to happen again. And trust me, we had some stern words with the hangers-on, who were on a very quick flight out of the country. And never to be around the client again.
Is it worth having all that money and prestige if you need a bodyguard to accompany you when you're going about your normal business?
Yes, it is worth it, because the potential for negative attention is great. And with social media the way it is now, the information age that we live in, people can find out who everyone is. And since time immemorial, people have wanted greater things, and they'll go to any lengths to get it. So the bad guys, there's always been bad guys out there, and there are certainly bad guys now. They're better equipped in terms of information. Transnational crime is huge, so that you may be settled on a lovely island like Guernsey here and feel nice and safe. However, if your profile is high enough and your wealth is significant enough, dependent on where you may have come from, that'll follow you. That'll follow you. You can't now say that a particular crime is typical of the UK, or a particular crime is typical of France, or is particular of Spain or the US. What you have now is crime groups from South America, Latin America, who are operating in London. You have, and certainly operating in Spain. You have Eastern European crime groups operating in London, operating in Paris. So the nature of the crime starts to change. So I'm drifting a little off your question. In terms of is it worth it? Yes, because we don't know where this threat is coming from. And your profile, wealth, lifestyle, the business you're in, your culture, your nationality can all make you a target for the wrong people. Mm. And if protection is done properly, it's very discreet. I'd like to think I don't get in the way of any of my clients. I don't invade their privacy. I protect their privacy. I guard it.
Bodyguard Russell Gray, we've run out of time, but thank you so much for joining me on the JKT show today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Been a pleasure.